Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 10, 24 through 39. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny them before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, John. And thank you for preaching last Sunday while I was in New York, which, by the way, New York is alive and well. More alive and more well than most of us may know. But it was a great visit. I had a great time there. I want us to focus on these last few verses, beginning at verse 34, that starts off, "Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." You know, complacency is a blight that saps energy, dulls attitudes, and causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom of complacency is satisfaction with things as they are. The second is rejection of things as they may be. Good enough becomes today's watchword and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown, mistrust the untried, and abhor the new. Like water, complacent people follow the easiest course, downhill. They draw false strength from looking back. Now, did you hear and understand what Jesus is saying in the passage read by John? Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What is Jesus really saying here? Is he really saying that your whole household's going to be destroyed by him? Or is the message, I'm going to shake things up? And I'm going to let you know how I'm going to shake things up. It's going to get so shaken up that you may have divisions. that you may not want to be around each other because some of you are going to believe, some of you aren't going to believe. And the reason for this is, Jesus says, is because you've become complacent. What you have believed for so long and held on to as an anchor is an illusion. Change your thinking, because if you don't, there will be trouble. And who is his audience? The Jews. The Jews had become complacent. They were no longer striving to live up to God's calling, but were striving to live up to their own standards. After all, that was easier. Jesus is calling them out, as we say. He said, they may call him a rebel-rouser and troublemaker, but the reality is, if they do call him that, they are maligning God. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Oftentimes we may think that Jesus was considered a radical by the Romans, but the reality is he was not. He was considered a radical by his own people, the Jews. And he was considered a radical because he told them that which they considered to be true, that became true for them for so many centuries. And it was, in fact, not true. What did Jesus say the law boils down to? What was his message? I want you to think about that as we go forward. You've probably heard the old story about the late, great Dr. A.J. Gordon, a famous preacher from England who came to a very dead, dull, formal church in downtown Boston. He was a fiery preacher who refused to wear a robe, which was mandatory in that church, and he preached Jesus to those people with such fervor, they sat out there shell-shocked, and after a month, they were ready to fire Dr. Gordon. One Sunday, he preached a sermon entitled The Funeral of the Church, and this is what he said. Ecclesiastical corpses lie all around us. The caskets in which they repose are lined with satin and are decorated with solid silver handles and abundant flowers. Like all caskets, they are just large enough for their occupants, with no room for converts. These churches have died from the disease of formalism and have been embalmed in complacency. If by the grace of God this church has any life left in her, I warn you that those that buried thy sister churches will be at thy door to carry thee out, because I predict this church will be dead soon, because I hear the death rattle. After he preached that sermon, six men came through the back doors carrying a casket, and he had them put it at the front of the church and open it, and then asked everybody to walk by and see their dead church. As they walked by, they looked in the casket, and you guessed it, they were looking at themselves in a mirror. Dr. Gordon's message was not unlike that of Jesus. That is, you must change your way of thinking. Don't be complacent. Is that easy for you? Is it easy for you to change your way of thinking? If someone came in today and said, we're just going to do services a whole lot different, you're going to sit up here and the preacher's going to preach out there, we're just changing things up, how quickly would you say, sure, sounds good to me? It's not easy to change. And when you're a Jew and you've had this history of all these centuries of doing things a certain way, and Jesus comes along and says, you're doing it wrong, you need to change, they weren't happy. They were not happy at all. Jesus said, I bring you the good news. That good news was to free the Jews and us from the old laws that were created by man, not God. To help us see that men and women through the years had made laws, rules that were placed on the lips of God but were not of God. You hear Jesus talk about this. He says, you've got all these rules, and it's not even from my Father. Listen to this. This comes from Matthew 5, 17 through 48. Think not that I've come to abolish the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass. Now that's out of Matthew 5. But listen to this. You have heard that it was said to men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. Now see what Jesus did? He says, you have this law, and you don't like certain people, and so you mistreat certain people, and I'm telling you that even that is wrong. You're just talking about killing. I'm telling you it goes beyond killing. I'm telling you it goes beyond anything you can imagine. It's about the way you treat other people. And the Jews didn't like it. The Sanhedrin didn't like it. They didn't like any of this because it was so tough. Jesus' rules, the rules that he brought from his Father, are much stricter than what they were using. Listen to this. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body. Is that not stricter? Now Jesus is saying, you got these great rules because they're easy. That's what you want. You want it easy. You've become complacent and you've gone through the centuries just doing whatever you wanted to do and following the rules that you want to make. But I'm telling you, it's not that easy. And then he says, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, makes her an adulteress, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Boy, can you imagine the eyes when they shot open? The Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the Pharisees are saying, golly, you're really strict. You're really strict, and that's more than we want. And it goes on until we hear these words. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that was it. They looked at Jesus and they said, you're nuts. We like our rules better. It's a lot easier. I can't love my enemy. And Jesus says, you should. And you know all these other things that he brought up? If you have love, it covers a multitude of sins. Radical? You bet it was. Again, the Sanhedrin, scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees hated him. How dare you change that which we wrote? And their stubbornness and inability to change cost our Lord his life. Do you think such things happen in our personal life? Refusal to change? In our personal lives, do we resist change? A man tells this story. 20 years ago, I visited the city of Calcutta on work. I was looking forward to the visit because it was the city my father grew up in. And being a typical Bengali, He was very proud of his city. But I was also looking forward to the trip because there was a little old lady in Calcutta that I had never met, my grandmother, my dad's mother. I was hoping to visit her. When my father had become a Christian as a student in university, his family had cut off all ties with him, and so I had never met my grandmother. I called to tell them I was in town. My grandfather was dead, and my dad's oldest brother now ran the joint family. What he said went for everybody. How would he respond to my call? Would I finally get to meet my grandmother? I had heard she had always been very keen to patch things up with my dad, but the men in her life, her husband, her oldest son, always said no. Then the answer came. Your father is nobody to us, and so you too are not welcome. Later, I had the chance to meet my dad's sister, and she told me my grandmother really, really wanted to meet me, but she could not go against the man of the family, my dad's older brother. Often in broken relationships, there is a thread that is common, hard-heartedness and stubbornness on the part of one or both sides of a broken relationship. Jesus saw that, and Jesus said, you know what? I see that you're resisting this change, and I know you're being hard-hearted, and I know you're being difficult to get along with, but I'm telling you a more excellent way. Love one another as I've loved you. All that other stuff that he was saying, he wasn't saying it so that he could get them to do that sort of stuff. For example, he didn't want families turning on each other. He didn't want sons and daughters hating their parents. But he was sending the message, I'm here to shake things up because I'm asking you to do something different. I'm asking you to open your mind and your heart to others, to have love for others. That's the bottom line. But you won't even do that, he said. You're hard-hearted. So relationships go to the wayside. In truth, nothing is more dangerous than a dogmatic worldview. Nothing more constraining, more blinding to innovation, more destructive of openness to novelty. The brain's calculations do not require our conscious effort, only our attention and our openness to let the information through. Although the brain absorbs universes of information, little is admitted into normal consciousness. Oftentimes we're hearing, I have no doubt that the Sanhedrin heard Jesus, but they weren't listening. And there's a difference. We become complacent with traditions, work, family, and yes, life in general. Jesus says, wake up. You can do and be so much more. Do not become complacent. Become alive. Don't constrain the Word of God. Free the Word of God that all may become more. God's Word is liberating. God is loving. What did Jesus say the law boils down to? What was his message? What was he really trying to get across? Not all the bad. This, in John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Notice it doesn't say in there that it's an option. It doesn't say it's a choice. It says it's a commandment. How many of us are living that commandment? How many of us can look around this congregation or out the doors of this congregation and see people that we're harboring ill will toward? That we're unwilling to forgive, we're unwilling to reach out. Jesus says, that's where the division comes from. That's what I was telling you. Your unwillingness to do as I ask is going to create the chaos that I told you about. Because we can be more if we choose the path of love, Jesus says, be more. Be more. Don't hate. Don't hold grudges. Be open. Listen. And oh, by the way, it doesn't hurt if you make the first move. Some of us are just sitting and waiting for someone to come to us and ask our forgiveness. Some of us are sitting and waiting for someone to come to us and say they were wrong. What if we went to them? Wow. There's an idea. How many of us are open to that one? Even if we're the one that feels wronged, what if we went to that person? So Jesus says, you can be more, but you must listen. And you must make the first step. Let us pray. Lord, we know that your Son came into this world not that we may be divided, but that we may come together. We know that he came saying harsh words, but those words were meant to inspire us to do better and to be more. May we this day take up that mantle and go forward to be the people that he has asked us to be, that you sent him to ask us to be. For we ask this in his holy name. Amen.